Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. I'm your host, Michaela, and I'm so glad that you're joining me again today. Today's show, I'm so excited to bring on because I'm all about spreading some sunshine and definitely have always been an advocate for cannabis hemp products. So today I've brought on some guests who have started a wellness company called Sunshine Marketplace. They're all about spreading warmth and joy, caring about their community, and they are definitely about true wellness. So with that, I'm going to bring on Court and Matt Chandler of Sunshine Marketplace. Welcome, you guys.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, super excited.
Yes, thank you for taking the time to share with the listeners. Basically, what I was hoping today's show is not only to talk about Sunshine Marketplace and what you all are offering there, but really to kind of give some base knowledge even to people, education, to those that are not even have an understanding, a basic understanding of what CBD is, hemp products in the wellness industry, why they should be using it. So anyhow, I just kind of jump on in, first of all, before we get to those questions, Matt and Courtney. basically, just go ahead and start off and just tell the audience a little bit about yourselves. And then why you got into the health and wellness industry.
Okay. Well, Matt and I have always been into health and wellness. We were very, very competitive kids, and we both had college paid for by sports. And so we've always had health as a number one priority. We just didn't realize how far off we were when we thought we were being healthy.
Yeah, and fitness has been a big part of our lives as well. I think as far as I can remember in high school, I would always be trying new workout programs, new supplements, you know, new things to try to see, you know, what they did, how they worked, if it increased performance and all those kind of things. So we've been really into health and wellness.
And trial and error on our own bodies.
Absolutely. I mean, I think our minds have been blown in the last probably 4 or 5 years of what healthy means and what living a healthy lifestyle means.
Yeah! So before you jump further, though, I just want to ask you all then, what are maybe one or two examples of what you guys thought were healthy and maybe in your mind now has changed from it, or definitely that's just a little part of it?
Yeah, no, for like food-wise, because we are both from Oklahoma, so sweet tea was all in moderation, and that just meant like 3 or 4 glasses a day of sweet tea.
I'm here now, so I definitely see that trend, you know.
Totally. But we were like, okay, chicken breast and broccoli, that's healthy. So we would go buy like the biggest bags of frozen chicken because we were poor. And that's what we're just trying to get, chicken and all this broccoli. And then now we just realized like the quality of your meat matters so much. And so I'm actually going to talk a lot about health today. My body, in one of my surgeries that I had, I was actually antibiotic resistant. And I think that's a lot to do with like the antibiotics our meat is shot up with, and that's in our milk and our cheeses and our dairy that we just consume, not even thinking about looking, is it antibiotic and hormone free, you know, because you just assume the chicken's a chicken and a cow's a cow. But back then we totally just did not realize the scale of the quality of meat.
That, and I mean, the typical misconception that low fat diets, trying to reduce the fat, that, you know, is kind of correlated with actual body fat. And it's kind of the opposite, actually. We've learned our fats in our diets have gone way up.
Way up.
Yeah, 30 to 40% most of our diet, sometimes more.
Look at that. Fat. See?
Yeah.
Wow. Good. Okay. That's awesome.
Coconut oil, you know,
absolutely.
Like good fats to add in.
And then like Courtney said, I think it's just overall quality. Like we looked at it kind of as a whole perspective is, you know, we only have one body in this earth that we're given, and we eat and drink water every day or drink things every day. So we wanted to be, I guess, stringent and kind of take a look at what we put in our bodies on a consistent basis and around our bodies. And that includes chemicals as far as like, you know, and she'll go into those, like, you know, toxins and...
Well, yeah, that's kind of actually how we got into the CBD business and the hemp world, actually, is through kind of my illness. So, honestly, go ahead.
I'll just say, but yeah, basically just trying to get good quality products and whatever it is that we're eating, first and foremost, organic and whenever
organic
possible.
Organic so matters.
Yeah.
So matters. And we were just told it doesn't matter, and it really doesn't matter. And just from, we just took that on as true. And now
right.
we totally realize that it way matters. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you were just getting ready to start telling us about how the, because that's what I was going to ask next, like how did you even fall upon hemp and CBD and decide that's something you wanted to pursue? And so with
right.
your illness, okay.
Yeah, so I was a hairstylist for 11 years, and I loved that, just being able to be with people, help people, talk with people. That's so in my nature. But after not being able to get pregnant with our second child for almost 2 years, I went to the doctor, and I was put on thyroid medication, and that's when I found out I have an autoimmune disease called Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism,
okay.
and I just totally didn't even know what that meant at the time. And they were like, here's these pills and you're fine. So when you don't get your thyroid fixed, a whole slew of things start happening. And I just never looked at why my thyroid was shutting down in the first place. I just took the medication that was prescribed to me. And then after my third doctor's visit of them telling me that I needed to double my thyroid medication again, and guys, I'm 108 pounds, and the amount of medication that was being just pushed on me from just old surgeries and acid reflux, and it was just like so much medication. And so I just refused that. I was like, I know there's something else in my heart that I can do. And not to mention that the thyroid medication started making me have, like, mega, mega anxiety and super depressive days. I'm, like, a super joyful person. So I just totally didn't understand anxiety at all. Honestly, I didn't even really, like, believe in it until I went through it. I was just kind of, choose to be happy, you know. And that's when, like, no one was talking about it. I was 29 and no one was talking about it. And so I was kind of like lost and embarrassed of like my thoughts and what I was going through. And I mean, yeah, right. Yeah. So I just like really, I couldn't take it anymore. And it just sucks. I still remember like those days where I was just like so down on myself where I'm like, why am I having these thoughts? Why am I going through this? But I went to go see a functional medicine doctor. And if anyone who's listening hasn't heard that term, start looking that up because that is where healthcare is going. And so I went to a functional medicine doctor and he was like, change your diet. And remember, we thought we were healthy.
Okay, wait. Courtney. Okay. So just I want to hear your definition of what a functional medicine doctor is or what functional medicine is or why you went to it. So you were called to go to that. What is that in your idea?
So I had went to conventional doctors and specialists since I was 12 years old with my first real medical issue, and I had my appendix burst and developed peritonitis throughout my organs, just kind of mega issues there. And so since then, I've just been fighting this low-grade bacterial infection. So a lot of symptoms
okay.
are just kind of a whirlwind of things, right? So, and I just realized, like, I'm going to these conventional doctors, and I'm just getting double medicine, triple medicine. Okay, here's more medicine, and I'm getting sicker and sicker. And I had heard, like, Body Mind Green with Dr. Mark Hyman, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. So a functional medicine doctor has gone through all the schooling that a conventional doctor has, and then extra. And instead of just, like, a specialist for, like, a heart, specialist for like gallbladder, intestinal issues, it's a doctor that actually looks at everything as a whole. So it's like all the symptoms, you're not just going to get medication to cover up the symptom, but they're going to look at why, like I said, like why is my thyroid shutting down in the first place, you know? So instead of just here's thyroid medication, he was like, hold off. Why is this shutting down in the first place? And he's like, oh, honey, look at your diet. Look how much antibiotics you've been on in your life.
So
look at,
how
you know,
is this different than a naturopathic doctor, or are they sometimes one and the same, or are they still different?
Yeah, no, sometimes one and the same. Naturopath, I guess, usually stays like pretty clear of any kind of pharmaceutical medication, and functional medicine is not
we'll blend
not,
it if
yeah,
necessary
not pharmaceuticals at all, just like cut back on why, and instead of just, you know, all these medications are like counteracting with each other. You know, you get another medication for what this medication is making you do it. You know, so it's just kind of tapering back and let's look at what you can change without not just taking another medication, you know. So first,
explained really well that I thought helped me a lot is that, like, take an instance where someone has a rock in their shoe and it's giving them pain. Instead of giving them ibuprofen to treat the symptom, you just take your shoe off and take the rock out.
Right.
That's when I made the most sense for me for explaining that as well.
Right.
Right. Well, first off, I changed my diet, and I knew I had to cut out gluten and dairy, and that was like a huge difference. And I pushed that off for so many years until my body hit like chronic fatigue, and I was actually having a sitter watch the kids like between 30 minutes to like up to 4 hours every day so I could go nap because I couldn't physically keep my eyes open anymore. And I'm like trying myself on myself in shape, you know, so when that's taken away and someone else is watching your kids and you're having to take a nap, not go get a pedicure, then then, you know, that just like hits you in the heart. And so I was like, okay, well, I've got to change, and what the whole world is telling me to do isn't working. So that's kind of how I sought out a functional medicine doctor. But changing gluten and dairy was like huge, huge, huge. Actually, brain fog was lifted up, and I could put things like together faster, you know, because I felt that was like a huge symptom from not getting my thyroid fixed was brain fog. And it was just frustrating when like things aren't clicking like they should and like you know that they should, you know. So I dove like super, super deep into medical research and went through like a bulletproof program where you learn like mindfulness and meditation, supplements, nutrition, stress and energy management. And all of these are like such great tools. And they're tools to get your body into that parasympathetic state. And so what the parasympathetic state is like the only state your body can heal from any sickness. And if you're not in the parasympathetic state, that means you're in the sympathetic state. And that's your fight or flight, you know. And so this is the main thing that CBD can do to calm your nervous system is to put you in that parasympathetic state. So all these things were just great.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, Courtney, you just hit like a big old epiphany just saying that, though, because truly, I mean, you just straight up said, like, when you are relaxed in that healing mode, I mean, that's when, I mean, that alone right there, that one benefit alone is huge.
Right, right.
And it's so easy nowadays to fall into the sympathetic state, to not get in those parasympathetic states. Mainly think of text messaging, calls, kids. Work, everything like
well, and yet notifications, things going on around the world. Like you, honestly, you can't find your cell phone for 5 minutes, and you go in fight or flight. It's not just running from a tiger anymore. You know? So like we have endocannabinoids that in our body already produces, but when we are in that fight or flight all the time, those dwindle out. So by adding cannabinoids, and that's what a CBD is. That's what CBD is. It's a cannabinoid. And when you add that inside your body, then that helps because we have – I'll go into this in a minute, but we have an endocannabinoid system. And it, like,
regulates stress, homeostasis in the body. These receptors are located all over your body pretty much. Mm-hmm. And there's the CBD1 receptor and there's a CBD2 receptor. And, you know, different cannabinoids play kind of different receptors. Right. But the main thing is that CBD fills that CBD2 receptor and has a host of benefits from inflammation to calming, relaxing, sleep. Like I said, overall body homeostasis.
Hormone production, that's your whole mood, you know.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah.
They regulate a lot. And so that's just a little bit about the endocannabinoid system.
We'll finish telling how we got into CBD. But after my family had like changed everything, like our diet, our environmental toxins, all of our cleaning supplies, shampoos, lotions, we literally changed everything. We flipped life around.
Okay.
And coming from the South on sweet tea and Panera baguettes, that was huge, right? And the reason we flipped those things around is because food made such a big difference. We were like, oh my gosh. And then we just really dove into the health. We were like, what else are we doing that's wrong that we're getting told, you know, in the United States, basically. And then we're looking at all these preservatives in our cleaning supplies and the candles that we're lighting. And what those do, those
right.
actually create hormone disruptors in our body. And those cause inflammation. So a lot of people, when they get hurt, they're like they hurt their knee. When that pain's there, they know that's inflammation. The inflammation is causing the pain, you know. But a lot of people
mm-hmm.
don't realize what we do causing inflammation inside our body. It's like our cleaning supplies were around, our candles were lighting, you
right,
know,
all
touching
the
back
external
of
things were, yeah.
Right. Right. And so we got to combat that by putting, you know, CBD in our body and anti-inflammatory inside our body to see real healing. And the fact that it calms our body and it creates homeostasis by leveling out our nervous system and immune system, you know, then that's like double like plus, right? But I just wanted to tell like that whole backstory because I want everyone to know that CBD isn't the cure all. It's not the cure all, you know. And I was a huge skeptic of taking it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I mean by that. Like a year and a half later, after changing everything, my husband was consulting a CBD business in Colorado, just doing business stuff. And he was like, you have to read these testimonies. And so I was reading all these testimonies and I'm going like, CBD is a plant? Like what? Oh, it's hemp? You know, and so I start reading the testimonies, and I'm like, how are all these people getting cured of everything? You know, this is going away, this is going away, this is going away. I'm like, how? But, you know, a year and a half of straight research, because I had quit doing hair and I was just researching at this time, I realized that inflammation is the key, is like the root of all diseases. You know, of all diseases from Alzheimer's, like any neurodegenerative disease, that is inflammation in your brain, arthritis, that's inflammation in your joints, like all the root of all
mm-hmm.
diseases, the culprit is inflammation. And so I was like, oh my gosh. So I just started putting my researching mind to work and just started really honing in the hemp world. And I started to see the correlations so fast. And, let's see.
Yeah, pretty much from there, you know, she started taking it, you know, she immediately noticed just because when she was waking up every morning, she felt like an 80-year-old woman. And getting out of bed, just had to roll her joints out. She was always still tight, even when she's eating healthy, because sometimes the body takes some time to repair, especially when it's gone through years
uh-huh.
and years of disrepair.
30
so.
Years of 30 years of not.
I wonder if
right.
starting the journey, look at it as a lifelong journey, and look at it as, you know, in the scheme of your life, if you've spent 30, 50, however many long years doing the wrong things, it might take 3 to 5 years to kind of get things going again. But
right,
CBD
rectify
one of the
it, yeah.
extra things. Yeah, CBD was just something that helped her kick things right into gear, you know, and make it kind of speed the healing or, you know, process up. She wasn't having as much fatigue. She wasn't waking up as sore everywhere and tight
mm-hmm.
in her muscles and aches and
you
joints.
You know what's
and
ironic
so,
about that? Okay, so I just want to say something about that because you said it actually doesn't hinder you and make you tired. It was actually taking away your fatigue. And I want to kind of point something out. And like also another thing, you were talking about hemp products, and a lot of times people will tie in it all in one. And I want to know the distinction of the difference because, you know, a lot of times people tie in cannabis straight with just CBD and not just hemp products. So I want to know the difference of you guys going under hemp products. And the other thing is when
yeah.
people tie in anything related to cannabis, marijuana, you think stoner, pothead sometimes, you think sleepy. Obviously, those that know about marijuana know there's different strains like sativa and indica, which also make
mm-hmm.
it depends. So I'm just saying, how is this CBD where – is, I don't know, like I would have thought it would made you more tired, and especially if it does help you sleep. So how does it 1 minute make you help you sleep, and another minute is not, you know what I mean, not take away your energy?
Yeah. Great question.
Great.
Well, cannabis is like the umbrella word, and so think cannabis at the top,
okay.
and then under cannabis is marijuana and hemp. So marijuana.
Okay.
These are simple terms. But there's
yeah.
definitely more online. You can look up for like the technical terms. I don't even know how to pronounce a lot of them, but. There's definitely a couple
this,
more terms on that.
This is a layman version for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, the layman version is, you know, you got industrial hemp and then, like, say, marijuana. But they're still under the cannabis
okay.
family.
Yeah, so they're all called cannabis. But then marijuana is bred for, like, high THC. And in medical, it's like probably even kill CBD to THC, but recreational has grown to be like 20 to 35% THC. And in hemp, with like real, real low CBD. And then hemp
is grown.
Explain
to people what they don't know. If people don't know what THC is, explain what THC is, because some people don't even know what that is.
Yeah, well, like,
THC is the active molecule that most people associate with marijuana that is psychoactive in nature. It definitely, you know, like, it's the one that's, like I said, psychoactive. People tend to have different experiences. Everyone's kind of unique to it. It's what's crazy. But, you know, there are benefits to THC. Like, yeah, there's some things that THC, I've shown in studies, do that other cannabinoids can't do. But that's
right.
A very personable state, as well as, you know, everyone reacts to them completely different. So these are all fall under the same general category as cannabinoids, though. And those are both found in, you know, both marijuana and plants. And like you said, the primary difference is the way that they're grown and, you know, the way that they're, I guess, hibernated with the seeds if they're going to be growing high CBD strands, THC strands. For our purposes, we go under the Farm Bill Act, which allows for the use and growth of industrial hemp. That was passed. That's the federal regulation, and they require that you act so and under a state pilot program. So your state still has to have a pilot program for you're able to grow this hemp, and you have to follow those guidelines and rules. But it basically classifies, and that's kind of the law or the federal law that kind of, you know, classified the industrial hemp as separate from marijuana, and said that if you're under 0.03% THC by dry weight, which is like flour.
So not even 1%.
Okay.
Yeah. 0.03. And like I said, versus what we would THC strand in a dispensary, like I said, are probably going to be from 20 to 30% range for the most of them. So that'll kind of help people compare in their minds, like the difference of like 0.03, you're at super low amounts of THC versus what's being grown in like a dispensary or something like that, are usually sold in like a grow house. So yeah, those are primarily the difference. And like what we said, we deal with just with the industrial hemp plant.
And marijuana is usually grown indoors.
Sure.
And hemp is like industrial hemp is grown outdoors. So hemp is not just a medication, you know, it is like, I mean, we can use it for hemp plastic. That's actually biodegradable.
Right.
Yeah,
clothing.
And hemp clothing that has been used for years, and it's like way more like
durable than
cotton.
Have you heard of hempcrete?
Yeah, and yeah, to build materials, and that's mold resistant. I mean, killer options. You can do insulation with hemp. I mean, it's like really amazing, and it's actually how we used to in like the 1800s. It was the 1900s.
Yeah.
It was like 1914. The $10 bill was printed on hemp paper, and the picture on the back is hemp farmers plowing hemp, and that's on the U.S. dollar, U.S. currency.
Yeah.
You know, we held hemp really high.
Sure, and it's a great crop.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to start. It's already the explosions kind of going with industrial hemp. I think the big slow up is just the processing plants to make these different materials that people can use for building or clothing or all those things, the raw materials. But it's definitely on the move, and I think it's just a matter of time before you'll see it a lot of places. And like I said, it's a great crop, not only just because it's hemp, but also because it takes 20 times less water to grow that versus cotton. There's just a lot of benefits, especially as water costs rise and all these different things, that for cost and everything else, that hemp's going to be a better option than most other raw materials.
And cotton is responsible for 2/3 of the United States pesticides and herbicides being sprayed on cotton.
What? Oh my God. So
imagine
switching that up.
Cool.
Crazy.
Right.
And
it's
kind of a natural, doesn't take as much, if any, herbicides or pesticides typically to grow. And so it's like a natural plant that doesn't have as much, doesn't need as much of that.
No, our farmers actually put fermented teas on it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And you're going above and beyond.
That's
like,
very nice.
I know. I'm like to the pickiest of the picky now. You know, I've been sick. I don't want to go back.
Oh, my
gosh. So,
Matt, Courtney, I want to, you know what, we're probably going to have a part two of this show, but I still want to get a couple more things answered. Okay, well, you have talked about some of the therapeutic benefits of CBD, but before I get into actually your company, your product, I still want to ask a couple more questions. I was talking to a colleague of mine earlier before we got on the show who is a former law enforcement, ex-narcotic detective, almost about to be retired military. So we were discussing this because obviously, you know, for our vets with PTSD, you know, this is important. This is a great thing to be doing. But he also had a question because from a legal standing and where things are still, you know, there's a lot of people that are not very clear on some of these things. And I was quite surprised that this lack of education, I was floored, but then at the same time, I consider this person very knowledgeable. So if he wasn't aware of this, think about the other people that aren't. So I guess what I was hoping out of asking you some of these questions, that this is going to shed light onto those people that don't know. And I'm not going to say it's going to completely change their world, but at least they can hear firsthand from people like us who are experienced, do have the knowledge, are in the industry, our thoughts. So first of all, you've already answered pretty much kind of what is CBD, what it stands for, what is it, what it means. But one of his big questions was, how is your CBD products or CBD hemp products in general not habit-forming, not addictive, and not a narcotic?
Sure. I'll try to tackle that. So as far as like the habit-forming, I mean, that's kind of to me a little loaded question because I think there's – habit forming could be good too. We all like exercising is a great habit we want to form as well. And so like, I think, you know, there's good habits and there's bad habits. And overall, I think you got to look at like the overall, cause I think of people in general, we're kind of wired when things are rewarding or doing well, we want to do them again. And so I do think, you know, as far as habit forming, there is probably good habits that are forming with CBD, but it's not something that you're going to crave. In fact, a lot of people I hear from even say that, hey, I quit taking it, and that's when I started to notice how much it was doing, is when I actually stopped taking it. And so I definitely think that, you know, it's not something that you're kind of want to crave or anything, but like anything good, I think that if your body's needing it and you know, you're taking it in well and it's doing a lot for you, then that's a good habit that's forming.
So they mean that, like when we get those testimonies, like a ton of people have to do say that. They're like, I was taking it for a month and then I ran out and didn't take it for a little bit and I realized I was irritated at like the littlest things and I would react instead of respond to situations, and they just notice they're just like their mood just like more irritated and just not calm, because like I said, when we're not in that parasympathetic state, we're in fight or flight and we're in our head and we're busy and we're overwhelmed and we have too much going on and we just have anxiety, you know, like all those things just form up. And when your body gets that something that like calms it down, you just start realizing, oh my gosh, okay, that's not something to overreact about. I can handle it this way. It just makes like decisions a little easier and everyone's noticing for the better. So if it's habit, you know, and maybe it's like exercise or eating good food, this is making my body feel good. So I'm going to keep doing that. Maybe that.
No, absolutely.
You know?
And I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. Yeah, and I'm not a doctor or an attorney or anything, but I know, like, I'm like narcotics, for instance, I think might play on different receptors, like opiate receptors or different ones like that, that will kind of give you certain feelings that maybe you want to go back to. But again, once you supplement those to create those feelings, sometimes there's a lack thereof and there's that need of wanting to go back to it. And again, I'm going off my understanding, so I don't want to like proclaim I'm an expert or a doctor on that, but I think with CBD, you don't have that same like, all right, I took some CBD and I just can't wait to take it again. That's all I'm thinking about.
You're right.
It does hit those receptors. It's like completely plays on some completely new receptors, the endocannabinoid system, which is just not more of a.
It's not the opiate receptors that like opiates, for instance, would play on. When you intake those, they hit opiate receptors inside our body, you know. And when we do endocannabinoids, it's our endocannabinoid system. We actually found out we have like an endocannabinoid system. Scientists found out in 1992. So, and that's how they're realizing, they're like, oh gosh, the endocannabinoid system actually regulates your nervous system and your immune system. You know, we're seeing look at all these autoimmune diseases coming up. And I think there was a statistic the other day that came out, it was actually 7 out of 10 people that go into the doctor's office actually have an autoimmune disease that they don't know. And so it's like when we're not taking care of our immune system, our life, our body, you know, then things are going to go wrong. And that actually regulates and actually boosts your immune system. So
I still think it's so crazy that our body is set up with these receptors. Are we just ignoring, is people talking about these receptors as if, like, is there are all kinds of receptors in our body is what I'm saying. Like, we're all touting, there's all these CBD receptors, but is there, like, freaking, I don't know, Brahms receptors in our body? Because over here in Oklahoma, Brahms ice cream receptors seem to be the thing, okay?
Okay.
No, okay, but back on track. Okay, we've got about 15 minutes, you guys. I guess I am going to jump into the products because I wanted to really talk about what you guys offer, the different forms you offer and why you offer those types and how let's just start with that first.
Sure. So I think, you know, overall, when you're looking for a brand of CBD, I would, you know, one thing, and not even just CBD, but any brand that you kind of buy things from, you want to look at their overall core values, their mission they're standing for. And I think that kind of helps show you what their main motivations are and then, you know, how detail oriented they are in certain things. And so, like, I could just speak for us is that, you know, one thing we look at is we try to look at with every single thing that goes in that bottle or that product completely. And when I mean that from the local farms that we support, we support small local organic farms here in Colorado right now, where we buy the hemp from. The ways that they grow it, like I think Courtney mentioned, they use fermented teas, they use lavender cover crops, things that help grow the nutrient density in the soil.
Because the microbiome of the soil is huge. Like, it's going to be determined on how your plant
grows to its fullest potential and its healthiest potential too. And so we just try to look at those little things. We try not to pull from big farming as much because, you know, when you have big farming and lots of acres with lots of plants on those acres, they're all pulling from the same nutrient densities of those on the soils that's contained in the soils, the microbiome of the soil. So having small local farms, I think that's the way that we chose to go. I think that you just get fuller, more rich organic plants. So I think the number one thing is obviously starting with good material.
We chose Colorado for our hemp because we learned, like, through research that at high altitude it's the best, and the environmental toxins that it's around really matters because it absorbs 80%, up to 80% of what it's around. And Colorado is, like, the cleanest state, so that's something we were, like, ideal about. Actually, the three moldiest crops are cannabis, tea, and coffee. You know, and I'm, through all my health stuff, I'm, like, mega allergic to mold. So that was, like, a huge thing that we were like, okay, well, we have to, like Matt said, go with small farmers, and we want to anyways, because I am, like, to the T, pickiest with ingredients. And it's actually kind of comical. But we have to be because, like I said, I don't want to get sick again, and we can't afford for mold to be in there because that's going to cause inflammation inside people's bodies, and you're doing the adverse effect by taking it, right? So we were just, like, really careful of who we chose, and we actually eat dinner with our farmers. Like, they're great people. We just get to know them, and that's been, like, a huge help.
Yeah, trying to just develop real relationships with our suppliers just so we get to know them on a personal level and know their values and missions as well, and making sure the core values align within the companies and stuff. So that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. The way we extract, we use organic materials to do all of our extraction. Which, you know, there's a lot of different extraction methods, and, you know, we always stick to the organic ways on that. Then on our post-extraction, I think one of the things that sets us apart is we actually, and I'm just going to go into the whole story real quick, but I started working, probably about 3 or 4 months in, I got introduced to a friend, who was a biochemist and a neuroscientist that was working on drug delivery systems. He studied neuroblastoma for pediatrics, and basically his job was, like, drug delivery systems and how do I get the chemo into nanoparticles and give this patient, this kid, the lowest amount because it's a toxic, you know, chemo toxic, but still make it work.
Bioavailable to the body.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And be more bioavailable in the body. And so, you know, he asked me, he's like, hey, I got approval from the university to try some CBD stuff to see how it does in some testing, but because of some of the regulations, we're not allowed to buy it and stuff. So would you be interested in donating? And I was like, absolutely. I'd love to work with you. So we sent him some CBD, and he started testing it. And he basically ran some tests of some brain cancer in some petri cell dishes, and basically, you know, compared CBD nanoparticle to the best chemo drugs in the United States, Europe, and like those as well as like nanoparticled them. And basically at CBD blew them out of the water. And again, I don't want
to,
I'm just going
wow.
experiences and I don't want to like, you know, this is just our own stuff and our own experiments. So nothing's
right.
published and I don't want to like lead people along that it's going to do anything. So I want to make that comment that this is just off our own experience, but it's nothing that is, you know what I mean?
But
been proven and tested in the lab that has been set up over periods of times. And I respect that that has to be done in order to talk to, you know, be able to say these and claim.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not thinking any claims at all, just kind of taking from our own experience results. But yeah, I mean, it was amazing. And he kind of just called me and was like, you know, after this, I want to, you know,
whatever
this
you're
might
doing.
Take a while because
yeah.
he knows those same methods. And he's like, I just want to help make differences in people's lives today. So he's came on board and he's the one who actually oversees all of our product, you know, bioavailabilities and how to, you
the
know,
formulations and everything.
Formulations. Courtney still is one of the ones that obviously comes up with some of the great formulations of all the different plants and herbs and things that we use in our bottles as well that assist so much in our health. But no, he's definitely really good at putting them together and making them very bioavailable in the body. And we use definitely some good technology and processes that we kind of use internally that ensure that we produce the best quality product we can for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
I wanted
to ask you,
who formulated – oh, go ahead.
Oh, that was it. I mean, I was just saying that's pretty much what I'm not saying there's any better or worse than anyone else. That's just our process.
Well, the fact that we take it from the farmers that we know, you know, we go to the farm, we pick it up, we take it to the extractor, we pick it up from the extractor, and then we process it all in our commercial kitchen downtown Boulder, Colorado. You know, so like we are hands-on
wow.
in every process because we want to make sure everything's clean is that we can make it, right? So that's like one thing that, I mean, would definitely set us apart. Yeah, what were you going to ask? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Well, I was going to definitely say shout out to Live Well Massage Therapy and Wellness Center and to Lisa Woody, first of all, because that's how I even met y'all and decided to wanted you on the show. I know, because I was on the fence on which CBD company I wanted to promote. So having firsthand experience with you guys' products, I mean, the biggest thing we utilize in there is your massage oil. Like, I love that you guys came. I feel special. I'm sure Lisa does too. Because we're like, I feel like you guys kind of made it for us first, at least. And then, like, I'm pretty sure a lot of other massage therapists and yeah. So anyway, so I'm going to claim props for our place because I'm telling you, people love it. And my grandmother, I told you, this is her second bottle she's on. Listeners, I just want to tell you, like, seriously, in 15 minutes, usually people are feeling this with pain relief, inflammation, helping with anxiety. And it probably lasts at least overnight relief is what my grandmother's reporting. But what I was wanting to say is, okay, so who had the hand in formulating serenity and soothing and agape for the massage oil?
That is me, darling.
Thank you. Because you put such great essential oils in there and everything.
Well, you know, one other thing I had went through a trial in my life is I've had 5 tumors removed out of my body. And so at 14 is when I really started learning about what a preservative was. And so I started looking at, like, the United States guideline for preservatives and then Europe's guidelines for preservatives. And y'all should look that up because we have, like, 11 banned in the United States and over 1,100 banned in Europe.
Wow.
So, anything that's not supposed to be in your body, they're going to call it a tumor. And then when you dissect any tumor, it's full of preservatives. So at age 14, that's why, you know, when I said we're changing our cleaning products, our lotion, shampoos, why that stuff matters because they're just full of preservatives. And our body is our biggest organ, so it just absorbs that, you know. And since I have tumors in my body, I have to be so careful. So all the oils are all organic, the best that we can source, like by far. And even our hemp is actually certified organic. And if I use certified organic essential oils, we could say our product was certified organic. But my finding, since I'm making medicine, I want it to be the best of the best. And my essential oils mm-hmm. journey, I went in unbiased, and I've done a lot of research through different essential oil brands, and doTERRA essential oils are by far my favorite, and how they're sustainable, how they resource everything, and how they set up shops and provide so many jobs. And I really love the quality. Wherever that plant's going to be grown the best, that's where they'll go and set up an extraction site and provide all these jobs for people. So if
so they've done the legwork like for you, and you're already using the best. Awesome.
Yes. So that's why, how that happens.
One more thing I want to note, too,
awesome.
About some of the different
go ahead.
Stuff there is just right before we quit, is basically, you know, just looking at, too, the brands, do they manufacture themselves? And if not, who are the suppliers they use? There seems to only be a handful of suppliers and then some small brands that might make it. And so I would just know where you're getting your products at, because I see so many, you know, different people that they might know the basics of CBD, but they don't know how their products are made at all.
And it, you can
right.
source hemp from China super, super cheap. But like I said,
ew.
It's an 80% absorbable crop. And, you know, they're wearing masks over there because the pollutants are so bad. So you don't want that hemp in your body. You know what I mean? So definitely
see,
that
and that's
matters.
Okay. Yes. And that's important. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say this. I think we've got at least a couple more minutes, but I want to make sure I get these before we get off the air. One was, well, first of all, listeners, if you're listening and you did want to check out Sunshine Marketplace, make sure you go to the show description. It has your information right there for you all. Basically, www.welcometosunshine.com/Michaela. That is a number 2 in there, and Michaela is M-I-C-H-A-E-L-L-A. And if you want 10% off any purchases at any time, just make sure you put in the code Michaela10. But the one thing I wanted to ask you guys before you went also is, that's a big thing, is people are, like, now that it has been exploding with the CBD market, you don't know what's out there. So how do they really distinguish? And if, for example, you know, some people will say, like, for instance, you guys back up your products with your information, but there's a lot of people out there going around saying, scientifically backed, like there's all these studies, blah, blah, blah. But they're really, if they were playing detective, if a consumer was playing detective right now on where to go, like what other signs would you tell them to look for quickly?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, like I said, knowing the overall company, their goals, their mission helps a lot, just because you can kind of see
what
kind of people, what kind of things they're trying to promote and do. I think that helps. I mean, anyone can say anything, so it's definitely hard in marketing, and I know the CBD kind of
mm-hmm.
is one of those things. You know, I know one thing, like if they don't make it, and who their supplier is, and then two is how are they manufacturing, what ingredients are they using, do they have the proper licenses, is their state have a pilot program, all these things are kind of needed in place. Like Colorado is one of the best state pilot programs for growing hemp and producing hemp and all sorts of stuff. We register our brands. We're
guys,
inspected.
We have went through the trenches getting every duck in a line to make sure everything is done right.
Sure.
Yep.
You got to get the proper insurances for manufacturing. You got to register with the Colorado Department of Health. You got to produce in a commercial kitchen. You have to have that registered with the FDA. There's a lot of different hoops you need to jump through to do the manufacturing
right.
the right way. And so these are all questions you ask. He's going to ask these people too. You know, how do you make it? Do you have your certifications to make it? Where do you get it supplied from? How are they making it? How are they extracting it? How are what are the other ingredients they use? Are they organic? You know, that's
well, and then preservatives. A lot of them use propylene glycol, and that's horrible, horrible preservative for our body. But I mean, if they don't know the answer to these questions, then that's just a red flag.
Yeah.
You know.
You can get more.
I want to hit on this real fast, though. Some things that would make us different is, one, that we get it straight from our farmers, take it to the extractors, and process it all ourselves in the kitchen. Two is, we use instead of, I went blank. So CBD, there's like full spectrum CBD oil, and then there's CBD isolate, and then there's broad spectrum. And so if you have the flower and you extract it all down and all that's left, that's full spectrum.
And it contains all the cannabinoids.
It contains all of the cannabinoids and all the terpenes. And then when you isolate just the CBD out of that, then that's just CBD isolate. And for health reasons, there's so many other cannabinoids that people don't know of. You know, THC is the psychoactive that one everyone heard of. Now CBD is one is that everyone's talking about. There's also CBG, CBN, CBC. There's a lot
of
cannabinoids. Like CBN is like really studied
Courtney,
right now.
I'm going to have to cut us out real quick before we get cut off and can't say our goodbyes. But I definitely feel like we're going to have another second show. And two, if any of the listeners listening have any questions, can they just reach out to the website directly, or is there any good contact numbers to give them for future if they have questions too for y'all?
Sure. The website's still probably the best route right now with everything going on. I think that's the best one.
Okay.
And we usually get routed. We try to route it through there the best way we can to answer, you know, these questions for people. So, yeah, I would have a reach out on the site, and then, yeah, we hope to follow